Warning, this podcast contains graphic details of murder and other offenses. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another episode of Innocence Lost, Kids That Kill. I'm your host, Nicole, and on today's episode, we're going to be discussing the April 20th, 1999 Columbine High School shooting. And as I'm recording this, I'm actually recording this on the 24th anniversary of that school shooting, and it'll be released the day after the 24th anniversary of the school shooting. And my sources for today's episode are a documentary that I seen on Netflix called American Tragedy. I have articles from AOL.com, and wikipedia.org, and there's a couple other things that I got the stats for this episode. So to start this episode off, we are gonna start off with the names of the killers, who were Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, and they were seniors at the high school, and they would go on to murder 12 students and one teacher, with 10 of the students killed in the school library, and that is where the two offenders would ultimately commit suicide as law enforcement was gaining entry into the school. Now, it did happen in Columbine, Colorado, and happened on April 20th, 1999. And it was considered one of the most outrageous school shootings in American history. And they actually came to school that day with the intention of murdering their classmates and teachers. And I say that because the weapons that they had were an Intratec TEC-9 Mini, a High Point 995 carbine, a Savage 67H pump-action shotgun, a Stevens 311D double-barreled sawed-off shotgun, four knives, and 99 explosives. And most of the killings were through the gun. 21 students or teachers were injured by gunfire, and multiple lawsuits would be pressed against the perpetrators' families. And while I can't say that I don't blame the families for what happened, there's a lot of unknowns with school shootings. Now, the school afterwards would go into an increased emphasis on school security with zero tolerance policies. Now, they are saying that both boys were on pharmaceutical antidepressants, were using the internet to gain clout for what they would describe as being outcasts and school bullying. And I can see where that would go. Now, Eric Harris was born April 9th, 1981 in Wichita, Kansas. And the Harris family relocated often as his father was in the Air Force. And from what I can find, this is where they say he got a lot of his issues from. Now, Dylan Klebold was born in Lakewood, Colorado on September 11th, 1981. And the family didn't see any, as they would call it, any warning signs. And a lot of people would go on to say that the family should have seen something, something wasn't right. But in the documentary that I watched called American Tragedy, the Klebolds were very unaware that their son was even an outcast in school and had gone to the senior prom just days prior to the shooting at the high school. And when the shooting happened, law enforcement was able to get online and see some of the videos that Eric and Dylan were putting out. And a lot of it was really, really sketchy. And it really made people think this was going on a lot longer. But Dylan was doing a lot of the videotapes in his basement. So a year prior to the high school massacre, both Dylan and Eric were arrested for breaking into a van and stealing tools and computer equipment out of the truck and would be put on probation for this crime. Now, there was a lot of red flags. Both boys displayed themes of violence in writing projects through the school. And in my opinion, that should have been a red flag. Now, it would go on to say that the boys were writing papers referencing Charles Manson and the Nazis. And a year before the massacre, Klebold wrote a message in Harris's 1998 yearbook statement saying, "Killing enemies, blowing stuff up, killing cops." And not to mention our revenge in the commons. And the commons was slang for the school cafeteria, which is where the boys would start their assault on their classmates. Now, they would also walk around school in trench coats, black trench coats to be exact. And that particular clique, as they called themselves, were the trench coat mafia. And the clique would go on to say, "Oh, no, 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 they were never a part of the actual trench coat mafia." I don't give a flying fuck. If they were actually part of it, they were walking around in the trench coats and would go walking around the school that day on video and in these trench coats. And the boys did do a target practice and honestly looked like a dress rehearsal in videos that were later portrayed to the masses, and that would be the media. Now, according to journals that they found from the boys, they were going to start their massacre at lunchtime, which was the busiest hour in the school day. And it did exactly that. They started a little after 11 a.m. And their original intention was to detonate their propane bottles in the cafeteria. Well, they never got that off. Both bombs failed to detonate, which thank God it did, because the death toll would have been much, much higher had those gone off. So during the massacre through the school, they would fire off a total of 188 rounds of ammunition and law enforcement, when they would get there, would fire 141 rounds during exchange of gunfire. Based on what I'm reading, they were planting the bombs in the morning. Now, each bag that the boys carried, they carried two duffel bags into the cafeteria, and they were set to detonate during what they called a lunch, which began right before the massacre would start. And no witnesses were called seeing the backpacks or anything like that other than what was seen on video. Now, school security videotape was replaced at 11:14 a.m. And they speculate that it's possible that the bombs were placed in their positions during said tape change. You could see them walking into the school with the duffel bags, but you can never see them being put anywhere. So that is where people thought that's where they had lost them. They would have two backpacks also that were filled with pipe bombs, aerosol canisters, and small propane bombs. And those would be placed in a field 3 miles south of the high school and 2 miles south of the fire station. So the bombs were intended as a diversion to draw firefighters and emergency personnel away from the school. However, only one of the pipe bombs detonated, causing a small fire, which was quickly extinguished. So there was another loss on what could have been done at the school. Now, the shootings began at 11:19, and Rachel Scott and her friend Richard were having lunch outside. And Klebold threw a pipe bomb towards the parking lot. The bomb also only partially detonated, giving it off smoke, like a smoke bomb, like a senior prank, which is what they all thought this was. And witnesses would go on the report hearing the two boys yelling, "Go, go," before Klebold and Harris pulled their guns from beneath the trench coats and began shooting. And like I said, they would go on to kill a number of their classmates. And art teacher Patty Nielsen would call 911 and hid under the library administrator's counter. And 911 would send officers to the high school. This would go on for quite some time, and videos would show the kids bailing out of windows in the classrooms to get away from the shooters. And they gave zero fucks that day about who they shot and where they shot at. And it's disgusting. Now, in 1999, when I seen the video, I was 15 years old when the Columbine shooting happened. And I remember seeing on the news these kids running out of their high school and having their hands behind their head and jumping out of windows because they were just trying to escape what was going on around them. And it is so sad, and it's just all fucked up, in my opinion, how the shooting went down. Now, from 11:29 that morning to 11:36 is when they would go into the library and yell at everybody in the library to get up loud enough to be heard on the 911 call. When no one complied with his demands, Harris would yell, "Fine, I'm just gonna start shooting y'all anyway." And he would start firing his shotgun twice at a desk. And they could be heard on video and 911 tapes having the time of their life, creating havoc and killing their classmates and just getting off on it. And it's just all kinds of, I don't know. It's fucked up in so many ways. Students were hiding under desks and they were going up to the desks and shooting them under the tables and just not giving a fuck about what they were doing. And I have a hard time with understanding where they got off doing what they were doing. And they would go on and ultimately kill themselves at 12:08 p.m. when law, like I said, when law enforcement was making entrance into the school and into the library. And it just, I don't know. It's just nuts that this even had to happen the way it did. And it would go on to pose questions about mental health and the stigma of bullying and outcasting other students and, you know, blaming it on everybody and anybody that they could. And let me tell you something. I was bullied in high school, and I don't think for a single fucking second I thought, hey, let me go into my school and shoot it up. No, that was never a thought in my mind. And for people to go on and say, well, you know, these kids were bullied and they had mental health issues and this and that. I'm all for looking into mental health issues and trying to catch it prior. But I mean, even now, we're still hearing about school shootings, and it's gonna always be an issue, in my opinion, as long as we allow it to as a society. And you know, 1999, there wasn't a whole lot of social media. There was internet, but there wasn't social media like there is today. And social media, in my opinion, is going to be the death of the American way. And you don't hear about school shootings in other countries. It's not something you're hearing about on the news all the time. It's more an American thing. You hear about it in this country all the time. And it's not a gun problem. It's a mental health problem. It's a bullying problem. It's a schools being full of shit and saying that bullying is a zero tolerance and we have zero tolerance for bullying. I see it every day on the internet where we have adults trolling children. And it comes back to, do I think that there were ways that this could have been avoided? Abso-fucking-lutely, there was ways that this school shooting and every school shooting after could have been prevented. But nobody looks at the big picture. They're only looking at what happened the day of the school shooting. They're not looking at what is going on in this person's life or this child's life that they think the only way to come back and prevent themselves from being in situations is to go into the school and ultimately get rid of their enemies. And I personally think that just because something looks fine on the outside doesn't mean it is. And that's where things really are dropped 99.9% of the time. Nobody's looking at the cries for help or the high school bullying in the hallway or the cafeteria or the snide comments that come out of some of these kids' mouths. And like I said, I was bullied and I had one fucked up nickname when I was a teenager. I'm not going to get into it, but it was there and I knew I had it. So, Columbine was followed by multiple school shootings, with the latest one being at the Marjorie Douglas Stoneman High School in Florida. And I don't think that school shooting is going to be the last if things continue to go the way that they are going. And I think there was a lot of tension leading up to and through the Columbine school shooting. No, I don't condone what Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold did. It was downright the shittiest thing I had ever seen on the news. And they took the lives of 12 of their classmates and a teacher, and injured so many more. And the entire community as a whole really did lose so much that day between the students that were killed and the loss of the sense of security. You're supposed to send your kids to school and they're supposed to come home at the end of the day. You're not supposed to be sending your kids to school and having them shot and killed by classmates who think there's no other way but to go on a rampage. And I find it completely disheartening that there was no outer signs to the parents of the perpetrators that something was going on. And like I said, in the documentary American Tragedy, Dylan's mom repeatedly says she had no idea what was going on in his head. And she didn't believe for a second that her son could be capable of doing what he did. And when you see the video of what happened and how it happened and all that mess, it just shows you how completely unfazed Dylan was going into the basement and recording these videos and then going to his high school prom the weekend before the massacre, like there was nothing going on. And it's one of those things that just I can't wrap my head around. And there's, like I said, it's the stigma of the bullying and the mental health and the not taking it seriously, and the administration letting things go, and until it's too late. Then the administration wants to throw up, well, we didn't know what was going on, when there's file folders full of shit that was going on in the days and weeks and months and years prior that definitely should have been red flags. And the victims did not ask to be shot and killed, and they did not know what was going to happen that day. And that was the first of many instances that you would see online and that you can still watch the videos from that shooting that day. And we as a society need to do better. And we need to look out for the warning signs. I mean, there's warning signs everywhere in regards to school shootings and bullying and mental health. It's not something that just comes out of nowhere. It's consistent and it's there, and you could be the best parent in the world, be present, and still not know that your kids are going through shit. Because a lot of kids do keep it bottled up. And again, I was one of those kids that kept it bottled up because it wasn't what I wanted to put out there. And I let it go till the day I graduated from high school. But doing the research on Columbine and school shootings and everything that goes along with the school shootings, it just shows, what kind of things were going on in the society that we have. And ultimately, the two boys could never be put through a court hearing and be held liable for their actions. And it was just one of those what the fuck moments that made zero sense. And Bill Clinton would go on to make a statement about the shooting and the response, and it's crazy to think that all of this went down in a matter of less than an hour. The school shooting and the conferences and the everything that would go on afterwards, from the conspiracy theories to misinformation about what was going on. And there was a lot of things going on. However, the shooting was considered a planned terrorist attack. And they were hoping to kill a lot more than what they did. And thankfully, they didn't. And the FBI's theory on what happened was that both boys had mental disorders. And both boys had it in them that they were going to take people down before they would take themselves out. So they would take out as many people as they could and then take themselves, which they did. And a lot of the videos that the boys would film were the boys saying, that the jocks were giving them shit all the time. They were being called faggots and queers. Knock that fucking shit off. Grow up. There was students that would say that other students were throwing covered tampons at Dylan Klebold as he walked past them in the common area, which is why that was set up as one of their starting grounds. And I just can't. I know that the schools nowadays have officers in the school. The high school I went to actually has metal detectors in there. Now, they didn't have those when I was in the high school, but they're there now. And it's because of shit like this. It's because of the bullying and because people don't know how to stop. And at the end of the day, the boys took shit in their own hands, and 15 people, 13 who were innocent victims, and the two dumbasses who did the shooting, and I only say that because there was other ways that they could have taken care of their situations, and shooting other students was not it, regardless, like I said, of what was going on. So I am going to give all the victims' names. I am not adding Eric or Dylan to this. This is the victims that were shot by the perpetrators and their ages at the time of their deaths. So Rachel Scott was 17 years old and she was killed outside while eating her lunch. Daniel Rauber was 15 years old and was killed at the bottom of a staircase leading to the west entrance of the high school. William David Saunders, age 47, was the te only teacher, was shot in the hallway near the library. Caio Velasquez, age 16, killed while sitting in a chair near the middle of the computer table in the school library. The rest of these murders would go down in the library. Stephen, I'm gonna butcher his last name, and I know I am. Stephen Kernow, age 14. Casey Bernal, age 17. Isaiah Scholes, age 18. Matthew Kechter, age 16. Lauren Townsend, age 18. John Tomlin, age 16. Kelly Fleming, age 16. Daniel Mauser, age 15. And Corey DePooter, age 17. That's who I want you to remember in this, is the victims. And like I said, as a society, We need to watch what's going on around us and what's going on in our children's lives and see that things sometimes aren't always what they seem. And if you think you're aware of what's going on, talk to somebody, talk to the administrators at your children's school. Try to watch out for your kids because, at the end of the day, this is ridiculous that I even had to do a podcast about a school shooting. Granted, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing kids who kill and what sets them off and why it's necessary to put this out there because a lot of podcasts don't really cover kids who are killing other kids and kids who who just are out of control. And like I said, there would be lawsuits filed against the families of Harris and Klebold. And it's just mind-boggling that there's even a thing called the Columbine effect, which I really didn't look too much into. And then you had your copycats years after the shootings. So I want to know from other people, what do you think sets off a school shooter? And what can be done to prevent them in the future? And I ask that because sitting here, I'm looking at multiple school shootings. And it's one of those things that you wonder if it can be prevented, but you also wonder, what effect does social media have on the school shootings from now? And I am actually going to be on my Facebook page, which is Innocence Lost Kids That Kill, to speak about this because it really is still pertinent now. And it's still happening to this day. And what we as a society can do together to quite possibly prevent this from happening again in the future. So, with that said, this is where I'm going to sign off because this particular case really irritated the hell out of me. Researching this case pissed me off, and it's not something I envision ever wanting to do again, but there are other school shootings, and I'm sure at some point I will talk about them. But I wanted to do this episode on Columbine because of the anniversary and because it's happening again more and more. So, with that said, thank you for listening, and I will see you again in 2 weeks. Bye. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to Innocence Lost Kids That Kill. I hope to see you again in 2 weeks with our next episode. Please rate and subscribe and let me know what you think of this podcast. Follow us on social media at Facebook, Innocence Lost Kids That Kill, And shortly, I will have an Instagram page as well. So until next time, have a good night. Bye.